Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm excited about our next guest, ladies and gentlemen. I've waited a long time to meet someone to tell us the story, and there's nobody better to do that. Mike Daniels is here. Mike is the former chairman of Network Solutions. Actually, from 95 to 2000, he and some other folks owned Network Solutions. NetSol.com, you know that website probably pretty well, and he's here to talk to us about. By the way, he and Robert Beister wrote a book called Names, Numbers, and Network Solutions: The Monetization of the Internet. It's their new book that you are going to want to have in your hands and read. I promise you, because this will give you the perspective on where we've been, so you know how to get where we need to go on the internet. And we've asked Mike to join us to tell us the story. He's our new friend, Mike Daniels. Welcome to the show.
Jim, thank you so much. Great to be with you this morning.
Good to have you here. I'm so excited to talk to you because I've never registered a domain name with any company except Network Solutions, because I've been registering domain names since 1997. And in the early days, I thought you guys were a utility. I didn't know you were a private company. I think most people were like that, don't you?
I think that's right, Jim. Those were still the very early days of people buying domain names. So, yes, probably lots of people thought that.
And, folks, a domain name, as you know, a top domain name is your business name, .com or .net or .biz or whatever. Of course, in those days, there was no .biz. There was only .com and .org and, I guess, .net maybe, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jim. There was .com, .org, .net, .edu for educational. But
right,
yeah,
there you go.
Biz and things were added later.
They were to come later. Those are those other top domains. So you know how it works, folks. You go in, you register your name, and you paid $35 or whatever it was. But in those days, when I thought you were a utility, you were a private company that you bought in 1995. Tell us the story.
Yeah, that's right, Jim. We purchased, and when I say we, I was an executive at a company called Science Applications International Corporation, which was by then a large multi-billion-dollar science technology company, and that's a company that was started by one guy, Bob Beister, my good friend,
right,
in 1969. So that was a small company, but by then we were a big company. I had known this company since 1987. It was located in the Washington suburbs. And I bought it for SAIC in March of 95, and we took it over, and it was a very small company that provided technical services to the U.S. government and agencies of the U.S. government. And then this is the company that in 1992 had bid on a government contract, actually something called a cooperative agreement that the National Science Foundation puts out. And when they did that, they were the winners to be the exclusive seller of .com, .org, .net to every person and organization across the whole globe. So
now let me put
me up.
As yep, breathtaking as what you up, just said is for me, and I suspect it is for a lot of folks listening. That was a full year, or at least several months, if not a full year, before the average person could even access the internet.
Oh, yeah, the Internet, the first monies were put into it in the early 1960s, Jim. It's an amazing story by...
But it didn't become available to the public until the spring of 93, right?
Oh, not really. And by the time we bought it in all those years, almost 30 years, Jim, there were only 71,000 domain names that had been registered by January 1st of 1995. So then the boom started in 96 and 97.
Right, and so exactly, and so you guys, I mean, to be positioned, talk about being in the right place at the right time. That was good karma, wasn't it?
It was good karma for a small business. It certainly was, Jim. You don't see it very often. We were lucky.
No, that was like, whoa, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, I know you guys were smart. I know you were a visionary and everything. But at the and sitting there in 92, did you have any idea when you were given the rights to be able to manage and sell, actually make a business out of selling something, the donut made names around the globe? Did you have any idea what the potential could be?
We didn't have any idea what the real magnitude of the potential could be at that time, Jim. And there was, I can tell you, I knew everybody who formed most of the internet companies at that point in the early days, and there was nobody, if they ever tell you they could see the magnitude of what was about to happen, don't believe them, because none of us could.
Well, I've heard the story about one of the founders of the internet in the late 80s, I think it was. Somebody said something about, you know, we need to work this out where the average person can have this. And as I remember, and I'm telling this story poorly, but it's essentially what I remember happening, what I was told happening. And the guy said, well, what would they do with it?
That's exactly right. That was the way most people felt at that time. Yep.
Yeah. And boy, howdy, it didn't take long for people to catch on, did it?
No, it didn't. By 1996 and then by 97, while people were reading about the Internet every day on the paper and companies were starting to go public that were Internet companies, and the real boom was underway, and everybody in the world wanted a domain name.
Right. So I got about a minute left before we go to a break and come back for another segment. What would you like to tell? What else would you like to tell the folks about those days, about those early days of the internet?
Two or three things. One would be it took 30 years of people working on this technology to ever get to commercialization in the mid 90s. So sometimes business ideas take a long time. Number two, you better be ready for those opportunities and get the best people you can ever hire to help you. And number three, you want to build a solid foundation financially for any small business so it can survive through a time like that, Jim.
Right. That's well said. Well, one of the things you got to be able to do is your first suggestion, your first piece of advice there is about thinking strategically, isn't it?
Exactly right. You have to do that in your business. Yes, sir.
Because if you're not thinking strategically, when an opportunity presents itself, you're not going to see it, and if you see it, you're not going to be ready.
Couldn't agree with you more. You got to think about it strategically and be ready to take advantage of those opportunities when they come along.
And folks, this is what I've been telling you. This is what I've been talking to you about for the last several years, about you needing to think of yourself as the CEO. You're not just the owner of your small business. You're not just managing the day-to-day of your small business. You have to spend the time and commit the energy to being the CEO of your company so that when a network solutions opportunity comes along, you're ready to go. We're going to come back and talk some more with our new friend, Mike Daniels. He's the co-author of Names, Numbers, and Network Solutions, the monetization of the Internet. We're going to get him to help us with that after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.